You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Normally, when I find myself living the drone life, I often forget to eat, which can be a good thing because that's normally how I lose weight. But when I am hungry, looking for something that's gonna make me feel good and make Sarah, my fiance, feel good, there's one thing that we can compromise on, and that is charqui. Because it is gluten-free and there's only four ingredients, let me read them to you. Lamb, gluten-free soy sauce, cane sugar, black pepper. Four ingredients, guys, and a phone call. Four ingredients and a phone call. But we're not going to let that phone call stop our podcast. If you haven't tried charqui, you have got to try it. You can get it on Amazon today. But if you go to charqui.love, guess what? It's going to take you right to the Amazon page. Sweet and spicy is my personal favorite. And if you're from the Southwest, well, you may just love the red chili because it's got an extra kick, something you would only find in New Mexico. In fact, I actually think, Rob, it's like two crazy Spanish classics came together to create one amazing food baby. And this red chili charqui is that.
I'm not really sure where to go with that because I was going to talk about the flavors bursting in your mouth, but that doesn't really work. Let's just say it's really, really good.
Well, it is. I mean, or else I wouldn't be on the show because, guys, you know that we only let people advertise on this show that have a real, legitimate, authentic purpose. And if you met the guys... Maybe I should bring them on the show sometime. If you met the guys behind charqui, I mean, they literally grow their own barley to feed to the sheep. They ensure that every part of the process is 100% all natural because they have kids just like you guys do, and their kids, they don't feel good when they eat some of the crap that's in these gas stations and grocery stores too. So they wanted to ensure there really was a guaranteed all natural lamb jerky product that just tasted better than
awesome.
The other stuff.
So where do people get it?
Charqui.love. I know I'm rambling
Sweet.
Here, but I've got good news for you, Rob. Have you ever had a tip over?
I think there's a reason you're asking that question, Paul.
There is a reason I'm asking
because
that
I've
question.
Had multiple, pretty much when I fly, I tip over.
Yeah. So if you've had a tip over while trying to land your Phantom, I highly recommend you check out the guys at unmannedsas.com/drone-you. I think it's really important if you crash your drone, you want to get back up in the air. You need to get back up in the air quickly. You can't wait for the Chinese New Year and for DJI to take a break. You got to check out unmannedsas.com/drone-you. Why? For $29.95, you can get your drone diagnosed. And if you elect to get it fixed with them, guess what? They'll give you $20 back towards fixing your drone. And chances are you're going to get it back in 2 weeks. That's because it stays here in the United States and it's worked on by some crazy cool Army veterans. So make sure you check them out, unmannedsas.com/drone-you. Rob, let's get into this show. What do you say?
I love when we hop right into the question.
I do too. Let's just get right into it. Thank you again, guys, for watching another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. We're just going to pop right into it.
Hey guys, Nathan Alexander from Seattle here. Do pipeline inspectors get hired through oil companies, or are they typically freelancers with their own equipment picking up contract jobs? Also, what type of experience or what type of jobs should I be looking into getting if I'm trying to work up to the construction / police / fire / pipeline inspection type work? Thanks a lot and peace.
And peace.
Thanks, Nathan, for the question. Guys, if you have a question, go to askdroneyou.com. Get it in. We'll get it on as soon as we possibly can.
Kind of reminds me of that scene from Dude, Where's My Car? Where he pulls up to the drive-thru and he's ordering food and she's like, and then.
slash.
Like,
yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know these movie references that you make. If they make me feel old or just like I don't watch enough movies. Because
well,
I never know what movie you're talking about.
And that's okay because It's probably a good thing because everyone out there would be like, oh my gosh, they quote movies way too much. So that's probably a good thing. I don't think you're really missing out on anything with Dude, Where's My Car? Because the whole movie is about a dude who can't find his car. So that's probably why you haven't watched it, Rob.
Deep stuff. I just watched A Lion this weekend and probably a little more deep than Dude, Where's My Car? Or whatever.
Are you like talking about like Life of Pi?
No.
Lions for Lambs?
That's a different movie.
Okay.
The movie is called Lion. If you haven't checked it out, you should. Of course, it hits us particularly in the heart because of our kids from another country, but
that's right. If you don't know, adoption. Rob adopted three kids?
Yeah.
Three kids?
Yeah.
From Africa.
Yep.
You are just like the Angelina and Jolie. Angelina Jolie
and Brad Pitt.
Oh my gosh,
I've just been insulted.
No. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they adopted kids.
Yeah, nope, insulted.
Oh, wow. I thought that would be a compliment. Like, dude.
Really? Angelina Jolie.
You look like Brad Pitt.
No, whatever. That is not a good save because you're lying.
All right, you got me.
Anyways.
Let's talk about
this. It is a
good
question.
It is. And there's a couple things I just want to preface this with. Number one, you know, guys, I'm all about you trying different drone jobs because for a lot of you out there, you know, and even me myself, in college, you never really get the opportunity to try out a bunch of different things and kind of figure out what track you want to go down. You're supposed to know right away. And honestly, it's not fair and kind of sets a lot of people up for failure.
Well, in fact, a lot of colleges sort of, I know from my experience, they really sort of funnel you into a particular even segment mm-hmm. of an industry.
Totally.
And I think a lot of concentrations do that.
No, I think you're totally right. And, you know, even when I went to UNM and we had to do all these group classes, they were just a bunch of like one-off kind of, I don't even know what you'd call them. What's the name? When you take a class, it's like an elective.
Oh, an elective, yeah.
It was like 90 hours of electives, and it was just like, okay, guys, I'm not going to go into yoga. I'm not going to go into weight training. I'm not going to go into art. I'm not going to go into this. I should have listened to my dad. I really should have listened to my dad and do whatever I want in college and just minored in business. But I will say that looking back and after beating everyone in the business school for the entrepreneurial challenge, it really made me think about, you know, does the business school really help your creativity in starting a business, or does it really take that away? So I think there are pros and cons to, you know, doing these things. But anyway, you're supposed to figure out what you want to do. Why am I going down this rabbit hole doing these different jobs? But it's really important, guys, that you focus on your niche. You got to find something that you really want. And if you really want to go into oil and gas, you really need to be going after the oil and gas companies that are, you know, putting up these drills. Normally, the oil and gas companies contract out to a driller. And then normally there's a service company that goes out and services and inspects these pipelines.
So currently that inspection process is on using tires, right? Vehicles. I mean, they're going out and driving these.
Yes,
probably,
that is true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In most cases.
There is a guy here in southern New Mexico, though, that flies the Silent Falcon drone and uses LiDAR to fly these lines, and they fly them every day.
So it's changing, mm-hmm. but a lot of oil companies are still kind of old school, probably.
Yes. Well, I mean, let's talk about this for a second. If you create a drone services company that services a large industry, there is a chance that your business could be picked up because a lot of these corporate entities do not have an adequate way to scale pilots, to teach them, to train them, to limit liability, and they're really not educated. Now, a lot of large companies have reached out to us to train them, including some military branches. And that being said, it's just so important. It's just so, so, so important that you focus on the very beginning at what you want to do, scale that business, systematize it as fast as possible, and then maybe you can be like Skyward and get a $100 million buyout or whatever. And it's not $100 million. I'm just throwing the number out there.
It's probably big. I haven't seen the number either, but no. If Verizon's buying them, it's not a small chunk of change.
Exactly. So the idea, guys, is that when you're starting a drone business, it's so important to remember from the very beginning what the goal of your business is. Bring in clients, systematize that system, continue to bring in clients, scale, grow, sell, if that's what you want to do, if you want to sell. A lot of people like myself, even if we sell DroneU, which there's been an offer for already, which that's probably not going to happen, but even if we were to sell DroneU, I would never stop flying. I would never
stop
being a part of this.
I wouldn't either. Seriously.
Never stop those tip overs either.
Ouch. Angelina Jolie, tip overs. Boy, this is a rough crowd today.
Oh, man. I'm not even trying to be mean either. That's the worst part. But, you know, if you want to get into oil and gas, you want to get into construction and whatnot, it's best to just go out there and start doing these jobs, mastering them. If you have to go out and do a couple of inspection jobs just to test the deliverable with the client to make sure that the deliverable itself is up to par, that's really important. But I want to warn guys who are thinking about oil and gas, that are thinking about some of this rural drone work. A lot of people get into drones because they love to fly. A lot of people stay in drones because of the friendships they make, the memories they create, and the relationships they've built over time. When you're out at these oil and gas fields, it's very lonely. Normally, you're with one other person. The pay is, you know, pretty good, but the liability is sky high. I mean, it is so high. I'm not even sure, you know, with there's transport risk, there's Global Aerospace's insurance carriers. I'm pretty sure you have to get a $5 or $10 million policy to even fly these oil and gas lines. I would tell him, if he wants to get in construction, if he wants to get in mapping, just go out and start doing it. Work with clients, master your deliverable, what's going to work, what's not. And so, then I think that's really crucial, because with oil and gas, you've got specific cameras that can only see methane. You've got to have, you know, $100,000 to drop in a system. And like for me, I just, you know, I almost went into oil and gas, and you remember that. But it's just so depressing, and the liability is so high.
Well, and again, I think you've touched on something that's important, and that is what makes, I don't know, how do you get energized? So some people might be energized by being out in the open, sort of alone, not necessarily in a, I don't know, say a movie set environment with all that energy. Different people are energized different ways, but
it's funny. A lot of people think I love flying movie sets, but it's not the truth.
Yeah. Or whatever. Being on the water, we know that's something that you love, and that's probably where your passion is most strong.
That's where I hit my flow state, Rob.
Wow. Flow state.
No. Have you heard about this? I mean, flow state is an actual scientific term now. It's a term where when someone can become so motivated and inspired that all other outside variables become null and void in the mind, that you're able to solely focus on one thing.
So all I hear is drone you offices on a houseboat.
Wow. Wow, you guys heard that, right? You heard that, right? Okay, deal. Let's do it. Here we go.
You talk about productivity. All right, I got to start working on this. Anyways.
You know what? Last week would have been my most productive week at Drone U if it weren't for the stupid cameras that got stolen. Yes, I had two cameras stolen. I'm not stoked about it.
It's been a tough run, but I really want to get back to Nathan. So
okay.
What I hear you
I'm going to quote you on Houseboat. We all heard it here, 5:30. So,
yeah, I mean, it was an observation. Sure, I think everybody would probably agree with me.
You make it happen, Rob.
Okay. What I hear you saying is that it's probably less likely to be hired by an oil company at this point,
because he's got to build a legit services company. And, you know, I love, it's funny. There was an article by the girl who works at Skyward on SUAS News talking about, you know, what's the likelihood of really building a business? And it's funny because you can tell they almost copied the outline of our book, but they really focus on, you know, well, is it really plausible to make money? And she says, your skill is a service. And without a high level of skill, your business has no value. And I think that was the only good point I think I saw in the article, but she's got a good point. You know, right. If you're not able to deliver these consistently, you're not able to go out and sell them. So that's why I think it's so important to go out and do these jobs, practice, work with the potential client. And if you're doing these for free to work up your clientele and your business and your relationship, guess what? You're going to have to do it.
You know, I think of this a couple of different ways. It's probably unlikely that oil companies are hiring somebody in this sense that Nathan is referring to. But on the other hand, you could almost educate them on why you'd be a good employee to them, depending on the oil company. I'm not suggesting you go that way. I'm just saying that's a possibility. But ultimately, I think you'd rather sort of have the freedom of having your own company and being able to move and go to different companies. And it's going to take more capital, things like that. I mean, you've got to be able to underwrite your own company, so to speak.
Well, see, and the thing is if you go in and you try to be an employee, I feel like you instantly undervalue yourself for the next decade.
But again, some people some people fit better in that mode. And I mean, that's why we've got Sandia Labs out here. There's a lot of people out there that like doing that every single day and being an engineer at the labs, and that's what they want. So there are other people that have those same skill sets that go start businesses and create technologies out of their knowledge and their experience. So it just depends on the person. But most likely, the kind of work that he's talking about, companies are not hiring somebody for that right now. Probably not.
They're hiring service companies, yes.
No, I know, but they're not hiring employees. They're not bringing employees on staff for these kinds of things. It might be changing, but...
I think that will change over time, but right now I just don't think that the management has the education to really be able to mitigate risk and mitigate liability. And remember, you know, we talked about with Patrick Egan about regulatory grade data, and on a lot of these smaller drones, you know, you really have to get into the bigger drones to really get the data that's even quantifiable.
Well, in fact, on oil and pipeline inspections, you're probably looking at fixed wing, right? In order
for for very long distance. Now, if you're doing oil drills,
true.
Different
if
story.
Pipelines.
If you're doing pipeline, you're definitely using fixed wing.
Right.
So, which means you've got to be able to not only fly a drone, but you've got to be able to fly a fixed wing, which, just a heads up, guys, is a lot more difficult. Unless it's on an autopilot, then it's a cakewalk.
Right. Which you would probably want for something like this.
But here's my question to you, Rob, and here's my question to people out there who are doing things like this. If you try to use a tool that you do not fully understand, you will have no way to mitigate an emergency. And as soon as you have one big emergency, there goes your business. So my advice to you is to highly consider being very educated and taking a lot of practice in flying things that you are not familiar with and getting to know the systems that you are not familiar with.
Sure.
Because if you cannot answer the question of how do you mitigate an emergency, what flight maneuvers are you going to do? What's your emergency procedure? You shouldn't fly it, period. I mean, it's just that simple to me. So a lot of people, though, that their risk level and their skill level are so far from each other. It's like, dude, if you really love to fly, take the time to do it right. That way you can do it for a lifetime.
Well, yeah. I mean, just look at it like you're taking the business seriously, right?
Yeah.
I mean, any other job that you took, any other career that you pursued, I would hope that that's how you're going to pursue it.
Yeah.
Learning it to the best of your ability.
Definitely.
This is no different.
Yes. I think we covered that question, though. I know he's like, well, if I want to get in construction, if I want to get into, you know, police services, again, make the relationships, guys. I can't stress this enough. Your business, and this has taken me so long to learn, your business is not based on how many relationships or how many people you can meet. Your business is based on the strength of the relationships you make with other people.
On that note,
that's going to do it for us today. Don't forget to leave us a review or share this podcast with someone who may need to hear it. Thanks to you, this podcast has grown so much, and we want to continue to grow because we want to make sure that we can maintain the freedoms to fly. With more and more people going out and just buying Phantoms at Best Buy, it's so imperative and critical to share this with someone who may be new to the industry or may need to get some knowledge and information. But that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.